You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Sam Norris, John Babb and Gareth Topham in the studio. Busy day as well. We've got Beverley, Sandown and Yarmouth throughout the afternoon, including a couple of listed races. There's a listed race at Sandown in the Shape of the Fortune Stakes and at Yarmouth in the John Musker Filly Stakes. We've also got Kelso to take us through the evening and we'll bring you the best of the action from Fairy House. Plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is John O'Connell. How are you, John?
Very well, thanks, Mark. Yourself?
Yes, very well indeed. Looking forward to a good week of racing, which culminates in the William Hill Air Gold Cup on Saturday. We'll move on to that in just a moment or two. We're going to have a little brief look ahead to the race. But we're also going to talk about a little bit of news. And interesting news that caught my eye today is that James Bowen is going to be conditional for Nicky Henderson next year. He's obviously caught the eye of many people, young James Bowen. He looks a very talented young rider. And teaming up with one of the more powerful trainers, it can only be a good move for him, can't it?
I think it's a great move for both parties. He's just 16, but record amount of wins in the point-to-point field, and he's already shown his class during the summer season. I think it's a perfect move for him. And Nicky Henderson, who he's been using Nico de Bonneville and Barry Geraghty, and before that as well, David Bass. But I think this will suit long-term both parties really well, and James is going to be a big name for years to come, I would imagine.
Yeah, and as you say, he's only 16. This could last for 10 years, 20 years, this partnership, if it goes well or whatever. So,
well, he's been touted by people who follow that field, the point-to-point field, for some time now anyway, and he does look a bit of a rare talent. So I think it's an excellent move, and yeah, he's got a valuable claim for a while to come, so I think he'll be very popular with the punters as well.
Yes, he's proven to good effect so far. Let's talk about actual races, though, and we've got some big races on the horizon. News today, as we record this on Tuesday, about the ARC, and we all know that Enable is the very short price favourite at even money, and she looks the one to beat. But looking at the Aidan O'Brien battalion, it's going to be, he's looking to send four to the race by the looks of things.
Yeah, and he might even have a pacemaker or two thrown in there as well for good measure. The latest one they're talking of putting in the mix is Winter, who would be stepping up to mile and a half for the first time. I'm not sure if he's going to actually run her. In the end, he might elect to play it safe, but it's an extra one for the mix, and depends now which one Ryan Moore rides. That will obviously tip the punters one way or the other, because it's very rare that he gets it wrong with these selections in the big races for Aidan, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And obviously you say it may send Winter to the race. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but if she was yours, given that three-year-old fillies have such a good record in the race, they get all the allowances, etc., you kind of would be missing a chance if he wouldn't, wouldn't he? Or, well, do you think it could be one of those where he just keeps her for another day and another big prize?
Because the owners and the train have other horses, I think they might elect to play safe and go for one of the other races, the Prix de Lopper on the card or something like that, maybe the Champion Stakes next month. If they didn't have the likes of Order St. George and Capri and Highland Reel, then I think they would probably give it a go. And it would be nice if they give it a go, but if you've got to go for it in the biggest race of all to find out. You know, you've got to find out if you just go for a four-runner race.
No.
So go for it in the big race of all. It'll really add something to the mix as well, especially as now Ulysses from the Michael Stout Yard has been talked up as a runner in the race.
Yeah, the market ever-changing. Enable Even Money, Cracksman 8 is 5-1. 8-1 for Ulysses. Highland Reel 12s with Order of St. George. Shingis Secret is 14s with Saturno Diamond. Winter is 14s as well. And 16-1 are bigger prices for the remainder. At this point, do you have a strong fancy for the ARC? Or do you think Enable is the one to beat at such prohibitive odds?
She's clearly got the form in the book. My concern is, although she's got form on softish ground, it just could be that the end of the season catches up with her. It's happened before, and there's been cases down the past, Mark, where I know it's going back quite a few years, but the likes of Generous appeared to have been unbeatable all season, had a nice break after the King George, went to the ARC, and in the end it just proved to be one race too many. And Enable, she's been on the go since April. She had a busy season. Although she's been winning her races pretty easily for the most part,
yeah,
they can just eventually catch up with you with no prior sign it's going to happen. So I can see if Aidan O'Brien runs four or five, including pacemakers as well, it's going to be a team sort of race, and he's going to make it as difficult as possible for Enable.
Yeah, and we've seen that plenty of times already.
Absolutely.
Ballydoyle executing the tactics really well. And, of course, he had a 1-2-3 in the race last year. So
yeah, Highland Reel, obviously, that one's a little bit ground-dependent. That must have good ground or faster in the elite company. I'd be interested to see if Capri went for the race. The mile six on Saturday in the St. Ledger was a really good performance. But
they talked about already bringing him back in trip, though.
Yeah, it's not a slow horse, is it? It was one an Irish Derby. And you could just imagine if they run the likes of that in Order of St. George and a couple of pacemakers, it's going to be one hell of a test. Enable, obviously, is no trouble at all at a mile and a half, but it's going to be a different type of test for Enable.
Yeah, we've got a few weeks to try and figure that out anyway. That's obviously coming up in about 2 weeks' time. Let's move on to something a little bit more close, though. We've got the big race on Saturday, which is the William Hill Air Gold Cup, always a mightily competitive handicap, heritage handicap, of course. And we're 8-1 the field at the moment here at William Hill. Shanghai Glory, 8-1 at the top of the betting. Don Juan Triumphant is 12-1 with Ice Age Sainted. It's then 14s for Ektiar. Johnny Barnes and Tommy Taylor also 14s with Toscanini. 16-1 for Aeolus, Edward Lewis and Growl, also for Naggers and Victory Angel, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. Obviously, we don't know the final field or the draw yet, so it makes it a little bit more tricky. But any horses on the shortlist for the William Hill Air Gold Cup?
Yeah, the shortlist for me is definitely headed by Ice Age, Eve Johnson Horton Trainer. There's a touch of a possibility that flattered an Ireland last time. It ended up being a bit of a draw race. He had to be drawn high towards the near side that day, but he just does seem a big improver. The ground's currently soft up air. There's rain forecast for Thursday, so even a couple of dry days after that, it's not going to dry out too much. It's going to be good to soft at the best, but that'll be fine for Ice Age. I think if Ice Age is lucky enough with the draw, and he probably don't... It's hard to decipher the draw because there's been occasions, Mark, in the past, in the Bronze Cup on the Friday, you think, oh, you've got to be drawn low here, but it swings from the following day. So the Silver Cup, just before the Air Gold Cup on Saturday, will be the big test. But if it's not too much of a draw race, I think Ice Age would be really hard to kick out of the frame. And the other one you mentioned there in the betting, if it makes the cut, is Ektiar. I think that is also a touch of class about it. And if he makes the cut, I think he's somewhere in the 30s at the moment, so it's certainly not guaranteed. And you wouldn't want to be backing it just in case the trainer thinks, no, I'm not going to make it. I don't want to run the Silver Cup, so I'll withdraw. But if he's in the final list of declarations on Saturday, I think he'll be hugely popular.
OK, a couple to consider then. So far, we've got Ice Age at 12-1 and Ektiar also in the market there at 14-20. In fact, I was going to say 12s, but 14s. So a couple of nice price ones to consider at this point for the William Hill Air Gold Cup. We'll have more on that back end of the week when we know the draw and we know the field, and we'll be hearing from Sir Anthony McCoy on the race as well at the weekend. Let's move on to action coming up on Wednesday, though. John has been pouring through the form for us. He's got two races with a strong opinion, a nap and a next best, if you like. And the first race that we look at there is the 3-5 at Sandown, which is a listed race. It's the Fortune Stakes. It's over a mile. We've got a field of 10 set to go to post for this one, John. And what made you pick this race? What have you got on your shortlist?
It's a bit of a classy sort of race. I would be quite sweet on a big price one here. There is a bit of a caveat to that. The horse isn't concerned is Naval Warfare, the bottom one, number 10 for Andrew Baldy and Rasheen Murphy. Form-wise, it's got a fair bit to find. It's got the best part of £10 to find, but it's plenty of these. But there's a lot of these who we know the horse, Mark, and like horses like Cool Company, Order Combat, and Richard Pankhurst. They've been around a bit of time, but they just don't win very often. And you just don't know what sort of form they're currently in. Escobar is a younger horse. He's another one like that. I just think Naval Warfare is an improver, and he should run his race. He won a handicap at Newmarket last month. I would be very, very sweet on him if Kafu Shamami, horse number 6, wasn't in the race, but there could be a bit of a pace war. That both horses would go from the front. Hopefully, Ashin Murphy won't get in a bit of a pace war with that one, but if he doesn't, I think he's a horse on the upgrade, and I think a lot of these horses are currently flattered by their handicap ratings. And for some of these horses, they've got to go for a race like this. They're too high in the handicap. Order Combat, I think, has won a race for 3 years. Cool Company has been a bit quiet for a while. Larchman Lad now switches to a different trainer. I don't know what sort of form that horse is currently in. So at least with Naval Warfare, you've got an improver in the yard, and I think he's a bit of a runner in this race. And I wouldn't put anyone off backing Laid Back Romeo, another one who's an upgraded handicapper. But he's running his races these days and he likes the track, and I think he could be a bit of a player in the race as well. But I think the next best for me, Mark, in that race is Naval Warfare.
Okay, next best on the day, Naval Warfare for John O'Connell then. Just a quick question with regards to Naval Warfare. He's got a lot of ground to make up on Dubai from a couple of starts ago. Obviously, you think he's improving. You think he's a bit closer together with that rival now?
Yeah, he was a better horse last time at Newmarket. He'll be a bigger price, obviously, than Dubai tomorrow. Dubai, who I hadn't mentioned earlier, is obviously a big player in the race. But I think Naval Warfare, at the likely sort of odds, I think he's worth consideration. I think if they change the tactics on Kafu Shamimi and hold that one up a little bit, I think that will really play into the hands, particularly of Naval Warfare.
Okay, let's move on to the 3:25 at Beverley. Then this would be the Napa race, if you like, for John. A mile and a half in front of these runners for this handicap. We've got a field of eight set to go to post for this one. And when I said we wanted two races off you, John, you quickly said 3:25 at Beverley. So, yeah, strong opinion here.
It is. I don't think we're going to get too rich on the race, but Boulder Bob, it'll be a big shock to me if that horse doesn't win. There's a couple of three-year-olds in the race where we'll be long into that time of the season, Mark, where you want the three-year-olds at this trip against the older horses. His run at Leicester was an absolute standout performance considering what he had done before. And on that occasion, he had soft ground. For the first time, he's got the soft ground again tomorrow. And that form couldn't be hotter. For a Leicester handicap, it's actually worked out really well. The second and third have won three races out of three between them since, to add a lot of ballast to the form. And Boulder Pop, if he's in the same sort of form, and we know he likes a soft ground, I think he just should win. He'll be a strongly backed favourite, but I'd be very surprised if he's not good enough to win.
Okay, Boulder Bob then should win. John will be very surprised if he doesn't. Who are you most worried about in there? Who would be the chief danger to your selection?
The two form dangers, are Medaglia d'Oro from Peter Chappell Higham's yard and Overhorse Street from Edda Giles, and they're both front runners. It'll be the icing on the cake for us if those two take each other on and cut each other's throats, allowing Boulder Bob to come through. But even if they don't, I think the form of Boulder Bob is stronger than Medaglia d'Oro's, and I think that would be the danger. Overhorse Street won a weak race at Goodwood last time, and the older horse, apart from that, the likes of Serenity Now, Auxiliary, Tapis Libra, I've got a little bit to prove at the moment, so I'll be surprised if it's not the three-year-olds fighting at the finish, Boulder Bob to beat Medaglia d'Oro.
All right, Boulder Bob then, the Nap selection for John. That's in the 3:25 at Beverley, and the next best on the day, the 3:05 at Sandown. That selection would be Naval Warfare. Been a pleasure speaking to you, John. Good luck with those selections on Wednesday, and enjoy the action.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of John O'Connell then on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio. 1:20 start time with Sam Norris, John Barb and Gareth Topham in the studio. Beverley, Sandown and Yarmouth in the afternoon. Evening action from Kelso, and some of the action from Fairy House, as well as several listed races along the way. A pretty good Wednesday of action, so do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet, and it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.